Welcome to First and 36 with your host, Forrest Denz. You're supposed to talk after that big, awesome intro I just gave you. You jacked it all up. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good, good. Forrest Denz is back for the next First and 36. We're going to talk about what the going-ons in the league were, and then we're going to break down the Bills game. So let's do it, Forrest.
All right. So first I have a list here of all the games. Dallas versus Carolina ended up being a 16-8 loss for Dallas. Washington versus Arizona was a 24-6 win for Washington. Seattle versus Denver was a 27-24 win for Denver. Green Bay beat Chicago by a score of 24-23. The New York Jets beat Detroit by a score of 48-17. The Los Angeles Rams beat the Oakland Raiders 33-13. Atlanta versus Philly ended up 12-18 for Philly. Cincinnati versus Indianapolis was won by Cincinnati 34-23. Buffalo versus Baltimore was Baltimore winning 47-3 over the Bills. Tampa Bay beat New Orleans by 8 points, 48-40. Houston lost to New England 20-27. San Francisco lost to Minneapolis 16-24. Miami won against Tennessee 27-20. Jacksonville beat the New York Jets 20-15. And
2015.
Pittsburgh versus Cleveland ended up being a draw 21-21. And finally.
Well, I didn't know that. Draw, huh? 21-21?
And finally, Kansas City beat the Chargers 38-28.
Damn. How'd you do in fantasy?
I did really good because I had the Ravens defense.
Yeah.
And their kicker.
You know what I'm doing from now on? I'm dropping whatever team I have, and whatever team is playing the Bills, that's the defense I'm picking up.
Yeah. One of my surprise players was my flex, Chris Thompson. He did really good. He did pretty good against Arizona fantasy-wise.
Yeah, we keep talking about fantasy. Mr. Chris Sabota is going to be all over this. Make sure you're talking to the mic, man. It's your show, and you're messing it up.
There you go. Yeah.
Sit in front of the mic.
Chris Thompson's in PPR leagues did really good last week. Devonta Freeman, not so much. He had 8 points, which isn't good. So the one that you were surprised about was Pittsburgh versus Cleveland, right?
Just because it was a draw. Not that it was. It's just crazy to hear a draw in today's football, you know?
Yeah. That was a really good thing for the Browns and a really bad thing for Pittsburgh. Last year, Ben Roethlisberger had a bad performance where he threw 5 picks, and he starts off the season wrong with 3 picks. So I think that Big Ben is regressing somehow. For some reason, he's getting worse.
Well, he's getting older.
And they were without Le'Veon Bell, which I think maybe got into their heads a little bit. But Cleveland looked really good on defense. Offense, they scored 21 points. So, I mean, only one was a defensive touchdown, I think. But they need some firepower still. They're not at the Super Bowl level. They need to add a couple more guys to kind of fill in and be good enough.
Right.
Like they had in Philly last year. Because most of the times the Super Bowl contenders have at least players that are about middle of the pack at every position. So that's important.
What'd you think about the Green Bay game?
Wow. I watched part of that game, and I can't believe Aaron Rodgers didn't like tear his ACL or sprain his ankle.
Well,
or
we don't
tear his Achilles or something.
We don't actually know the extent of the injury yet. They're not going to announce that, or they haven't announced it yet, at least.
Well, he wouldn't be playing so good if he had a torn Achilles or a torn ACL.
I don't know. They get their shot on the sideline, man. You can do a lot of stuff. We'll see how. It didn't sound like he was feeling too good this week. But the difference between having an all-pro quarterback, probably Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers, to a backup, is huge. You just watch Aaron Rodgers come in and slice up the defense.
Even when he's not feeling good, like, yeah, he could still slice you up.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, though, that was a takeaway for the Bears is that Khalil Mack is going to be an impact player. He had multiple sacks and an interception. I think he took back pretty far during that game. So, Khalil Mack, kind of in and out with the Raiders. He was the defensive player of the year one season.
Doesn't matter once Aaron Rodgers got in there and tore him up.
Yeah, but with, well, Aaron Rodgers didn't start good against him.
No, but he came, dude, the second half they came back, they just trounced him. They were down like 20-0 and they came back and won.
Yeah, but Mac is the one who hurt Rodgers. No. But somebody hurt Rodgers and Khalil Mack was involved with that play. Like, it doesn't matter because against most ordinary quarterbacks that this Bears are going to be going against, there are 16 quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are not the top half. So, right now, they besides Aaron Rodgers, there could be 15 other quarterbacks that they're going against that aren't the top 50%, which would mean that Khalil Mack would basically break that game.
All right, well, we're from the 7016, so we got to break down the Bills game.
7016?
716. I messed up. I'm old. I'm beat up. I got a fight coming up soon, maybe, possibly, probably not. And I'm drinking some Knockout Punch body armor. It's a great sponsor for the show if you guys want to sponsor us. We like football and UFC here.
Yeah.
But we're from the 716, so we got to talk a little bit about the Bills game.
Well, the first thing I want to say...
Let's talk about quarterback. We just talked about the difference between All-Pro Aaron Rodgers. What do you think are the differences between the Bills' two quarterbacks since they both got to play?
I think they're both young, and they're both going to make the same about... I think Josh Allen is going to make just the one or two less mistakes than Nate Peterman. To be honest, I think it was a terrible decision to put Josh Allen in that situation. Because it's the same thing that we did to Peterman last year. We started him against one of the best defenses in the league, and he threw five picks.
What was his quarterback rating in the game before they took him out? Do you know?
No.
Zero. Oh,
no, it wasn't zero.
0.0.
It was like 8.
No, it was 0.
No, they said it was 8.
Well, we're going to look it up. Keep talking.
But you shouldn't put in your young quarterback with the best defense, with one of the best defenses in the league. That's how Nate Peterman threw those 5 picks. I mean, he played in the Saints game, but the Saints already took out all their defensive starters. It's different. So I don't want that to happen to Josh Allen. So I really want us to wait on him, at least until we're going against a little bit worse defense than our first few weeks. Like, maybe against Green Bay would it be a good time to put him in, because Green Bay pretty much is only going to win on offense this year. Since one of their better linebackers is out on an ACL and the rest of their defense isn't so good. So that'd be a good time to put him in, I think.
I think he came in and the offense started moving, man. I know they were trying to keep that zero, I think. Until they got the field goal, the defense was playing tough, right? And Josh Allen came in and he moved him down the field.
But those first, like, bad game in, like, the career... With the 5 picks, Nate Peterman never came back. That's why he threw another 4 picks Sunday. At least in my opinion, I don't think that putting in a young quarterback against a good defense.
Here we go. Here's Peterman's stats. 5 for 18 for 24 yards and 2 interceptions. He's been sacked 3 times. Bills offense has mustered just 1 first down and 31 plays, totaling fully 6 yards. Yes, that's how Peterman's stat line for week 1 of the 2018 season will read perpetually. Head coach Sean McDermott had apparently seen enough once he threw his second interception of the day early in the third quarter and was pulled in the game to make way for rookie Josh Allen. Now, if these numbers feel shockingly, perhaps alarmingly bad to you, even for the Bills, it's because they are. That all amounts to the rare, if not entirely unprecedented, 0.0 passing rating. According to Pro Football Reference, a QB with 15 or more pass attempts has earned a 0.0 rating 55 other times in modern NFL history. Most recently in 2015 when Peyton Manning went 5 for 20 for 35 yards and 4 interceptions and sacked twice.
What game was that? And Peyton Manning is like a legend.
I don't know. So what makes Peterman's game that much worse than any of the 55 others? Well, to start, only 17 of those performances resulted in 30 or fewer passing yards. And of those, only 2 players were sacked more than twice. Should be noted that among those games, a brutal, unforgiving game by Ryan Leaf in 1998. Completing 1 pass for 4 yards, throwing 2 interceptions on 15 attempts. Objectively worse than Peterman's showing against the Ravens.
Well, we made history.
Yes.
We made history, but in a bad way. Like, Bill's... Yeah,
Peterman was awful, dude. He just does not... First of all, just the dynamic difference in physicality between Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman is a huge deal to me. I mean, when you watch Peterman throw the ball, it just looks like it comes out slow. He's making bad reads. He's a little bit behind.
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't have as big of an arm, and it was raining and windy and against a top defense. So you have to factor that in your summary of Peterman.
He was awful for it. Like, awful. Like, I'm all for him. He's a fifth-round draft pick. He looked like a fifth-round draft pick. He's going to wash out of the league.
Well, what do you think would happen if we put him against the worst defense in the league? You think he'd do the same thing?
Pretty much. I don't think he's going to be much better.
The Ravens' defense is, like, top five this year. Like, well, you can already tell. And they took one of their main pass rushers out when Josh Allen came in.
Watch what happens when I put in the defense that's playing the Bills every week. I'm going to skyrocket in our fantasy until people catch on to what I'm doing and they steal it.
Yeah.
But
I had the most fantasy points in our league.
Yeah. But when Josh Allen came in, dude, the ball moved different. Dude, he had a zip on that ball. And not only that, I mean, his stats probably weren't that great. I can look those up in a minute, too. But Benjamin dropped that touchdown in the end zone. That guy that turned around to make that catch, if he was an NFL receiver instead of some guy that never played in the NFL. The guy that dropped the ball down the sidelines when he came back, he broke back.
Foster?
I'm not sure who it was. I don't remember.
Was it like number? Was it like a stupid number?
Yeah, some weird number.
So that guy actually did really good in preseason.
Yeah.
He's a project. Probably going to go on the practice squad soon.
Yeah, he turned around and Josh Allen underthrew him a little bit, but he had to make that play. And the guy, it was a tough catch. It was really tough. It was not as easy as Benjamin catching the end zone. It just boink right off his hands, right? That one was bad. He should be fired for that.
Dude, Kelvin Benjamin is supposed to be good. Now he has the beef with Cam Newton. Yeah. He's like 70 overall.
Benjamin cost, Jesus Christ, Peterman an interception too when he didn't jump for that ball. I didn't see it until today, actually. I watched on lunch today when they're talking about it. I went back and watched a clip.
And that's another thing. Peterman has bad luck when he's throwing the ball with his receivers.
That's not bad luck, man. His arm is not strong enough to put the ball where he needs to put it. Like, when Josh Allen makes a bad read and he launches the ball is there. And he's throwing it without setting his feet, and the ball is still there. Dude, he's got a rocket arm.
But that's the difference.
Yeah, that is a difference.
And his receiver, and he puts enough zip on the ball where his players don't create interceptions. But Peterman is on a bad team with a terrible O-line and bad receivers. Like, you can't blame Nathan Peterman. Put him on the Patriots against the worst defense in the league, and he'll be like 158.3 passer rating. I think, I don't want to defend Nathan Peterman, but he's put in an impossible situation to bring life back to the Bills. Josh Allen, not so much. He's got all this hype behind him. And he has the physicality. He's like 6'5".
He's got a cannon arm.
Crazy, and he has a cannon arm. It's
and
not
he made some great first down runs, too.
Yeah, it's not fair, though. It's like not even fair to put Peterman in the same situation as Allen.
Sport's not fair. It's about who gives you the best chance to win. And it's not Nathan Peterman, I'm sorry. Josh Allen, just on the physicality and that freaking rocket he's got for an arm, is going to be... you weren't around, but... This team reminds me a lot of the early 80s Bills that were god-awful, that went 2-12. And then you see Kelly come in, and you just saw a glimpse of hope because this guy had a rocket arm. And he could Kelly was better because he was already played in Jesus Christ, the USFL. And he already played pro football. So when he came in, he was a little bit more polished than Josh Allen. He's ready to play, you know. But Josh Allen is our hope. Plus, we gave up draft pick. You know, he's our first-round draft pick.
You know, Allen won't be the same as Kelly because he won't have the same stat line. And his stats are going to look worse because we have Shady and other backs.
Yeah,
and
Kelly.
And like playing keep away.
Kelly played on an awful team, too. Some awful teams.
But Kelly had the hurry-up offensive passing like most of the
players. That was in the 90s, not when he first started in the mid-80s.
Yeah, but he's still... Like, even without the hurry-up offense, he was getting more attempts than his running back every game. So we like to play keep away. So I think.
How many rushes did McCoy have? He was like at 8 rushes, right?
Yeah, but like Marcus Murphy, when you combine all of our rushes,
yeah,
it's more like that's what you need to combine because we have 3 decent backs in the eyes of the coaches, which is what really matters. So those 3 are going to get the ball a lot. So I feel like Allen will have similar stats, but just not as high.
Yeah.
You know what else he might become? He might become a Cam Newton with just a better arm. He really might because he's 6'5", 2-something. He's big.
6'5", 2-something?
Like 230.
Oh, like 200 pounds. Yeah. I got what you're saying. So what do you think about the Bills receiving core?
Well, Kelvin Benjamin needs to get replaced now. Like, he's not... The whole point of him is that he's 6'5", and he's huge. He's like 6'4", 6'5", he's huge, and he needs to be durable. We saw that he can't play in the rain, and he was only decent in the snow. So, it's worthless for us to keep him, because he's a decent receiver in perfect weather. And now he's having beefs with other players that's making him worse. So, I think we should get rid of Benjamin. But, and the rest of our receiving core, I think Jeremy Curley and Andre Holmes are our best bets at receiver.
I think we have like a high school receiving team here.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Curley's played on a lot of teams, and he's not too bad. He's just a slot guy. And then Andre Holmes caught the most touchdowns on the Bills last year, which was like 4. It was sad.
Peterman had 24 yards and Josh Allen had 74. Murphy had 31 yards. Josh Allen had 26 yards. LeSean McCoy had 22 yards. It doesn't have rushing attempts. That's what I was looking for, actually.
What about Ivory? I saw Ivory had like 1 carry or 2 carries.
I don't know. He had 3 yards. Peterman had 1 yard. Receiving. Zay Jones had the most yards, 26. Thomas had 24. Chrome had 18. Holmes had 14. Kelvin Benjamin, 10. Curley, 7. And LeSean McCoy, -1.
Yeah. That's a receiving core for you.
And not so good.
You want to end on a bright spot with a different team?
How about the Bills' defense? You said they were going to be number 1 in the AFC East. They didn't look like it.
Because they gave up. After Peterman threw his first pick, they knew. I think they're smart, and they knew that he was going to be terrible. And I think they just gave up.
If they gave up after 1 pick, they're not a very good defense.
Well, they saw how bad Peterman was playing. And I think by the time it got to a point where the defense needed to start playing, they already gave up. It was like... Yeah, they already gave up. But I think we might see a better version of them. I don't know if we're at LA or if we're in Buffalo, but if we're in decent weather with no rain or precipitation and we have decent offensive play, the defense might look better than they did Sunday.
Yeah, I hope so. It's going to be a long season if they're not. Okay, we watch the Bills' first game. What do you think the overall record's going to be?
With who at quarterback?
I don't know. We don't know who's going to be quarterback. I don't make that decision. If I decided, I'd have Josh Allen start the next game at home.
I think we should have kept McCarron, but I think we'll go with...
I would have kept McCarron, too.
I think if we have the heart that we had last year, I think at max we can go 6-10 or 7-9. Mm-hmm. But if we don't and we just give up, we'll have like... 0-16 season.
What do you think, though? What's your prediction now?
Right now? Maybe 4-11-1.
Wow.
Or 5-10-1.
Man, your prediction quite changed from your 1st-and-36 breakdown.
We're going to tie the Titans, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're probably going to tie the Titans.
All right. I think we're going to go, I don't know, 3-13. Maybe. Maybe worse.
Can we end on a bright spot?
Yeah, we're going to go over to your bright spot and news and notes from the league or anything good that you want to talk about. It's your show. You get to end on however you want to end.
Let's go to Cincinnati versus Indianapolis. Cincinnati won 34-23. Cincinnati looked good. Looked really good. They started off with Andrew Luck beating them, And they came back. Well, they didn't really come back from a huge deficit, but they came back from like a 2-score deficit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended the game well. So I think the Bengals, with the showing that they had against the Colts, might be really good. This might be a team that, if they excel and they continue to play like they're playing right now, they might actually be a playoff threat and might be able to sneak into the wild card and make it deep into the playoffs.
So who are your Super Bowl picks right now after week one?
After week one? It might be like
Bills and
the
Rams?
Jets and Tampa Bay if it keeps going the way it's going.
Yeah. The Jets look good.
The Jets defense looks good. The Jets offense is still questionable. I think maybe... I think Philly versus maybe Jacksonville or Baltimore or Denver. One of the top defenses. I think one of the top three defenses, whoever's the top three defenses, if they have a decent offense, they'll probably have a good chance of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a lot of options. That's not a very good Super Bowl pick.
All right.
I wanted to get you on ropes.
Then I'll go Jacksonville.
All right.
They have the most experience. Blake Bortles has the most experience.
Game of the week.
Game of the week? Tampa Bay versus New Orleans, 48-40, 88 points total.
Green Bay, man. Green Bay, my game of the week.
I like Tampa Bay versus the Saints because the Saints almost came back and it was a really high-scoring game. And my prediction in like overall for this season is that we're going to have a high-flying season. It's not going to be a fun season for some teams, but it's going to be a high-flying season with a lot of scoring. Like there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... There were only 8 teams that played that had less than 20 points this week. So I think there's going to be a lot of 17 to like 24 point games.
Are Bills going to score any touchdowns this year?
Maybe one. Maybe just one or two.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers coming back in and tearing up the defense was my highlight of the week. And it just goes to show how important a great quarterback is. And that's going to be Josh Allen.
You know one thing I want to say, though? First of all, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Hall of Famer. All pro. He's probably maybe the third best quarterback in the history of all the NFL. But in the last few years, he's been fragile. He's had a bad training camp this year. And the Packers' defense is not so good. So he might get 7 wins all by himself this year. I mean... I don't expect the Packers to do well, even though they have like the greatest one of the greatest QBs of all time.
He's gonna last this whole season because I have him in my fantasy league. And not only that, he went from the hospital bed, got a fake leg put in there, went out, came back, and won the game for Green Bay.
I swear, I think he tore something or messed up something bad. Like that hit, his leg was in an unnatural position. It looked like near ankle, like bad.
Maybe he does yoga and it's a natural position for him.
That'd namaste. Be crazy if he's not hurt.
From he's like namaste, like bitch. I do that shit all day long. Oh, I cussed on your podcast. I'm sorry.
Whatever. Yeah. Anything else you were surprised about or want to talk about?
I was surprised how bad the Bills were.
Surprised about the draw.
What about the Rams?
The Los Angeles Rams could be a playoff team.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Well, no. They'll definitely be a playoff team, possible Super Bowl contender. And
I think Superfly is going to revoke your bodyguard status and say could be a playoff team.
They're going to make it that's to the his championship
team.
Game.
Superfly's team, baby.
I misspoke. I meant possible Super Bowl contender. All right.
As long as it's just a oops of the mouth, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. They have the most offensive weapons in the league, and they have 2 of the best defensive linemen and 2 of the best corners in the league. Their team is redonkulous. And the only issue they're going to have is too many big personalities and like too hard to control in the locker room. I think if that happens, The team might tear itself apart, but...
Not after winning, man. Winning fixes all that.
You think?
Yeah. If you're winning, it don't matter. You're not upset.
That's, like, the only thing that could go wrong for them. And the other thing that could go wrong for them is just simply being beat by the previous Super Bowl champs.
All right.
Anything else? Any other questions?
I don't think there's too many infractions with the new rules with the protecting the quarterbacks and the helmet rules. Although you were pretty upset that Josh Allen got that call when they dove on his head. You're like, come on, it's football.
Oh my God. And the one where you said they like hit him, they bumped into him and somebody from the Bills, I forgot who it was, probably was Josh Allen.
It was Josh Allen. He went into the sidelines at the 99.
And he got bumped.
He not only got bumped.
Took the guy down with him.
The guy threw him on the ground.
The guy did not throw him on the ground.
He did to a penalty.
Oh my God. He took him to the ground with him.
If Josh Allen was Aaron Rodgers, there would have been 10 flags on the field. I'm telling you right now. That was a welcome to the NFL little hit. And I'm actually surprised that they called a penalty on him when they do drop his shoulder on Josh Allen when he's already on the ground. The one you're upset about. That was definitely a penalty, especially in today's NFL.
Well,
he went right to
his head.
I wasn't
saying that it wasn't a penalty, but he led with his shoulder. That's not an illegal
it is
helmet
he went,
rule.
He went to his head. He went to his head. He targeted the guy on the ground's head. He did.
Yeah, but it wasn't a helmet. The new helmet rule infraction. Because he led with his shoulder. If he's standing up, that'd be a
but that's a quarterback that slid. It's not a regular player. It's a quarterback that
didn't
slid.
Didn't he get sacked?
No, that was when
I thought he got brought down by one person. And
no,
then the next guy came
that was
and knocked
the run.
Him in
the head. That was a run where he slid and the one guy dived on him already, and then the other dude came in on top of him.
Well, they didn't call some of them where Tyrod's neck could have broke last year. So.
Yeah. They had to put in new rules this year. I'm glad to see that in the regular season. I didn't see a lot of games this week. I only saw the Green Bay game and some of the Bills game, but I didn't see a lot of those crazy calls that we've been hearing about.
Yeah, the helmet infractions are tough to call too.
Yeah,
because sometimes it's hard to tell. There was one whack call in the preseason with the Steelers.
Yeah, there's a lot of whack calls in the preseason.
The wide receiver got so low on a 6'3 safety. When the safety dropped his head, the wide receiver of the running back was lower. And they called it on the safety, which is ridiculous. And it's one of those calls that they need to fix by midseason, I believe.
All right. Got anything else?
Do you have any other questions? Any other things to talk about?
Not really. It's kind of your football podcast. I don't really know too much about football. I just supply this technology stuff, and I try and talk and sound not so dumb, but it doesn't really work so good.
I do want to talk about Carolina a little bit for Mom.
Okay.
As kind of an honor to Mom's fantasy team.
Right. The pretty boys.
Yeah.
Mom picks her fantasy team by how the players look, except for Marshawn.
Yeah.
It must be the Asian black thing.
Well, Carolina is a playoff contender this year, and they have Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton, and Mom has both of them, so it's important that they do good this season, at least good enough to keep her in games.
Yeah.
So she doesn't go have a bad record, but in all honesty, they are a playoff team, and I think they're going to be serious contenders this year with Christian McCaffrey, who I don't think is going to have a bust season, Cam Newton, who's like my second favorite quarterback, and they have a tough defense and kind of a improvised offense. But like they play at a high level, so they'd be able to beat the Bills for sure, and they probably can beat some better teams than the Bills.
Sounds good. We're going to do a game this year, except it's not a NFL game, but we're going to go see Clemson. Yeah.
Kelly Bryant.
Couple weeks. All right, let's get out of here, man. For First and 36, coming to you live from the Caveman Studios, Forrest Danz is out of here.